forget, however, it seemed a city, and not knowing where to go, he asked the first townsman of Thwil he met where he would find the warder of the school on Roke. And the man looked at him sidelong a while and said, "The wise don't need to ask. The fool asks in vain." And so went on along the street. Ged went uphill till he came out into a square, rimmed on three sides by the houses with their sharp slate roofs, and on the fourth side by the wall of a great building whose few small windows were higher than the chimney tops of the houses. A fort or castle, it seemed, built of mighty gray blocks of stone. In the square beneath it, market booths were set up, and there was some coming and going of people. And Ged asked his question of an old woman with a basket of mussels, and she replied,
"You cannot always find the warder where he is, but sometimes you find him where he is not,"
and went on crying her mussels to sell. In the great building near one corner there was a mean little door of wood, and Ged went to this and knocked loud. To the old man who opened the door he said, "I bear a letter from the mage Ogion of Gaunt to the warder of the school on this island. I want to find the warder, but I will not hear more riddles and scoffing."
"This is the school," the old man said mildly. "I am the doorkeeper." "The doorkeeper, and enter if you can."
Ged stepped forward. It seemed to him that he had passed through the doorway. Yet he stood outside, on the pavement where he had stood before. And once more he stepped forward, and once more he remained standing outside the door. The doorkeeper inside watched him with mild eyes. Ged wasn't so much baffled as angry, for this seemed like a further mockery to him. With voice and hand he made the opening spell, which his aunt had taught him long ago. It was the prize among all her stock of spells, and he wove it well now. But it was only a witch's charm, and the power that held this doorway was not moved at all. When that failed, Ged stood a long while there on the pavement. At last he looked at the old man who waited inside.
I cannot enter," he said unwillingly, "unless you help me."
The doorkeeper answered,
"Say your name."
Then again Ged stood still a while, for a man never speaks his own name aloud until more than his life's safety is at stake. "I am Ged," he said aloud. Stepping forward then, he entered the open doorway. Yet it seemed to him that though the light was behind him, a shadow followed in at his heels. He saw also as he turned that the doorway through which he had come was not plain wood, as he had thought, but ivory, without joint or seam. It was cut, as he knew later, from a tooth of the great dragon. The door that the old man closed behind him was of polished horn, through which the daylight shone dimly, and on its inner face was carved the thousand-leaved tree.
"Welcome to this house, lad,"
the doorkeeper said. And without saying more, led him through halls and corridors to an open court far inside the walls of the building. The court was partly paved with stone, but was roofless. And on a grass plot, a fountain played under young trees in the sunlight. And there Ged waited alone some while. He stood still, and his heart beat hard, for it seemed to him that he felt presences and powers at work unseen about him here, and he knew that this place was built not only of stone, but of magic stronger than stone. He stood in the innermost room of the House of the Wise, and it was open to the sky. And then, suddenly, he was aware of a man clothed in white who watched him through the falling water of the fountain. As their eyes met, a bird sang aloud in the branches of the tree. In that moment, Ged understood the singing of the bird, and the language of the water falling in the basin of the fountain, and the shape of the clouds, and the beginning and end of the wind that stirred the leaves. It seemed to him that he himself was a word spoken by the sunlight. And then that moment passed, and he and the world were as before, or almost as before. And he went forward to kneel before the archmage, holding out to him the letter written by Ogion. "The archmage Nemerly, warder of Roke, was an old man, older, it was said, than any man then living. His voice quavered like the bird's voice when he spoke, welcoming Ged kindly. His hair and beard and robe were white, and he seemed as if all darkness and heaviness had been leached out of him by the slow usage of the years, leaving him white and worn as driftwood that had been a century adrift.
"My eyes are old. I cannot read what your master writes," he said in his quavering voice. "Read me the letter, lad."
So Ged made out and read aloud the writing, which was in Hardic runes, and said no more than this: "Lord Namali, I send you one who will be greatest of the wizards of Gaunt, if the wind blow true." This was signed, not with Ogion's true name, which Ged had never yet learned, but with Ogion's rune, the closed mouth.
"He who holds the earthquake on a leash has sent you, for which be doubly welcome. Young Ogion was dear to me when he came here from Gaunt. Now, tell me of the seas and portents of your voyage, lad."
A fair passage, lord, but for the storm yesterday."
"And what ship brought you here?"
Shadow, trading from the Andrades."
"Whose will sent you here?"
"My own." The archmage looked at Ged and looked away and began to speak in a tongue that Ged did not understand, mumbling as will an old man whose wits go wandering among the years, among the islands. Yet in among his mumbling there were words of what the bird had sung and what the water had said falling. He was not laying a spell, and yet there was a power in his voice that moved Ged's mind so that the boy was bewildered and for an instant seemed to behold himself standing in a strange, vast, desert place, alone among shadows. Yet all along he